God within us, we proclaim, thanks be to God. Love. L-O-V-E. Love. It's not going to be one of those kinds of sermons, though, friends. Because if you've not noticed, each one of these Sundays of Advent, we are not lifting up some lovely version of these things. We are holding out for a strong version of hope, of peace, of joy, and love. We do not need any namby-pamby versions of love today, friends, because that doesn't hold anybody. That's not strong enough for the world that you and I face, for the things that you and I go through. You and I need a love that comes from a depth of strength and bravery and courage. The kind of love that holds space for us, that is a refuge for us, that is a sanctuary for us in the midst of all of the chaos, anxieties, fears that you and I face in our world. We need the kind of love that perseveres, that is resilient, that's not just nice. We have a lot of niceness that we throw around our world, and it's pretty shallow. It's generally a veneer, and right under that level of niceness is meanness, right? Is selfishness, is all of those things, right? And so we wear niceness as this veneer on top. But what we really need is love. I want you to think about Mary coming into this story. I want you to think about a young girl in the first century, Jewish in the first century, and what that means for her. Her religious background, all the patriarchy that exists in society, all the various spoken, written rules of law, of religion, of purity, of morality, and all the unspoken and unwritten ones that are held in society as well. I want you to think about the depths of fear it takes to encounter an angel. A heavenly messenger. If you've never noticed, they don't look like the little baby figurines with a little halo and some wings that we all have paintings and statues of, right? Throughout anything east of the Atlantic, every image of an angel is terrifying, right? They look like gargoyles rather than sweet little babies, right? Yeah, they're terrifying creatures. When they're described in Scripture, they are absolutely awful. Did you catch that word? Awful. Because they are full of wonder and awe and majesty, and yet that is absolutely terrifying. And this young girl in this culture, in this space, encounters this angel, and if that's not terrifying enough, tells her that she is going to bear God into the world. Oh, I thought we had already encountered this scary thing. This is the scariest part of all. And by the way, we're not going to do some giant angelic announcement about this to all the people in your town and villages all around. We're not going to inform Jerusalem, by the way, this young girl over here is bearing the Son of God. Instead, you get to go out into the world and face the ridicule, judgment, the outright ostracizing, we'll go with that word, ostracizing of who she is and getting cut off from that culture, from that religion, from those people, and likely from family and friends. So imagine what she is facing when she goes to this village in Judea and she encounters this family member. Usually we say cousin. In the Greek, it's a little ambiguous what kind of family member Elizabeth was. Let's just say it wasn't her sister and it wasn't her aunt. It was more distant than that. Now, who is Elizabeth? Elizabeth in this story is the wife of Zechariah. She's the mother of John. John, the guy who's going to go and baptize people all over the wilderness. We encountered him last week. Remember, he was full of repentance and turned from your sins, your wicked ways. Oh, by the way, you're a brood of vipers, right? John, right? And as harsh as John's message often seems, John's message comes from the same place as his mother's message to Mary here in this text. It's one of strength. It's one of truth. It's one of a deep, deep hope that God can transform our world. We forget sometimes in the beginning of the story that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. It literally says that in the text. They were old, right? So by the time we get to John the Baptist in the story, John's likely been orphaned in the story. There's a reason why John is in the wilderness. It doesn't tell us that directly, but we can put two and two together, can't we? John has lived a pretty harsh life. Mary is facing a harsh existence. And in the midst of all that harsh and hostility, what every single person needs is hospitality. We need someone who will offer us welcome and refuge and sanctuary. Someone that says, come here, come on in, and literally grabs us and pulls us in and says, I am here for you. I will stand up for you. You have a place here. Where does love happen? It happens in these actions of strength. It happens when we welcome someone who has not been welcomed. It happens when we reach beyond the definitions, boundaries, and borders of society and say, you're mine. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to speak up for you. No matter what, no matter anything. Do you see what Elizabeth does as Mary comes in? She affirms her. She sees her. Literally, she leaps. Her baby inside of her leaps. Mary leaps. Everything in this society and in this story, we're down here. What happens to us in the midst of our world when things are not good? We go down and down and down. We go in and in and in. And what happens in the story? It explodes. It explodes, friends. Both Mary and Elizabeth and their babies go into exaltation. They are lifted up and out, and they exclaim, don't they? They're excited by and for and with one another. That's what happens when real love, when real hospitality and welcome, when real deep sense of come here, I've got you, happens. And what happens next from that? are, in my opinion, some of the best words that are in Holy Scripture. We call it the Magnificat. Mary lifts up her voice. She lifts up her spirit, and she exclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." When there is a space of love, when there are people of love and welcome for us, what happens inside of each and every one of us? We realize who we are. We find our voice. We cry out, we speak out, we sing out. Our bodies get involved in this thing, don't they? We get a little kick to our step. Some of us even jump. Some of us dance. Some of us grab a hold of people. Some of us high-five people. We do all kinds of things when we're in that spot of absolute welcome and love, don't we? It's literally written on our faces and surging through our bodies. We magnify the Lord and acknowledge that the world can be better, that God is coming into our lives and will transform things that seem absolutely impossible, that where there is injustice, it will be made right. You see what Mary says here? "For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He's lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry. He has sent the rich away empty." When love happens, real love, not L-O-V love, but real love, the world is transformed. Our lives change. The material world that exists of the powerful and the weak flip-flops. And something amazing occurs. The person that Mary is carrying is the very person who's going to bring all of this about. When Elizabeth holds on to Mary and opens up this space, Mary realizes who she is and who the child in her will become. We sing this beautiful song now in the modern day, "Mary, did you know?" With all these beautiful questions, all of these questions of, do we think she realized? Do we think she knew? I believe she knew because of this moment right here. Because someone else opened up a space for her. Mary was able to come alive and realize all of the hopes and dreams that she has for this child inside of her. And she realizes in this moment, this child will rule the nations. This child will save me, will save my people, will save all people. Over the next few days, as we approach Christmas, there's so much in the ether, friends. There's so much in the waters and the air of our lives, so much in the globe, so much in our nation, so much right at home in our lives. My hope is that you will look around and find someone who offers you this kind of home, this kind of sanctuary, this kind of refuge, who welcomes you and affirms you no matter what is going on in your life. And I hope you will look around over the next few days and offer that to someone else. Be the sanctuary and refuge that someone else needs. Hold on to them, pull them close, speak up for them so that their soul has space to expand, become the very person that God made them to be. Amen.